This is Erica Renaud, and you're listening to the Radical Radiance Podcast.
Hey, friends, welcome to the Radical Radiance Podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca George, and I am so excited about today's guest, Erica Renaud. Do you struggle as a parent to encourage your child to pray and develop that rhythm in their life as they continue to grow? Well, today's guest, Erica, my friend, gets to talk with us all about her new book, Pray With Me, and I'm so excited to share her with you. We connected last year at a retreat. We are with the same publisher, and it was just a joy to get to catch up with her and hear her heart for Pray With Me. You are going to love her. Before we get to it, have you grabbed your copy of Do The Thing, Gospel-Centered Goals, Gumption, and Grace for the Go-Getter Girl? It is out in the world, and you can come join our Book Insiders Club once you purchase a copy of the book by going to dothethingbook.org. There is an exclusive Facebook group, all kinds of freebies there for you. I would love to gift those to you as a gift from me for purchasing the book. You can grab it anywhere books are sold, so I'd love to have you over there. Now, help me welcome our new friend, Erica, to the show. Erica, welcome to Radical Radiance. I am so excited to get to spend time with you today. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is going to be great.
I know. I'm so excited. So we connected what feels like a lifetime ago to me, even though it was less than a year ago, at a retreat that our publisher did for some of the female authors within this kind of one section of the publishing house. And it was so fun to get to just gather with fellow creatives and get to talk about ideas and hear about what God had put on your heart for this book. And that was such a special weekend. And also, it was such a tender time for me. So our listeners will know we just moved and have had a great deal of change in the last year. And that weekend in particular, I was leaving Charlotte to drive back to Mississippi. And it was the weekend that we were telling our church that we were leaving. And so I was just like a mixed bag of emotions when we were in Charlotte. And it was almost this like great distraction from all the chaos. Do you know what I mean? And so anyway, I just look back with such sweet memories of that weekend. So I'm so glad that we connected and so excited to talk about your book.
Yeah, thanks. Same.
Well, I'm excited to dig in. And so we actually had book birthdays together. We released books on the same month. And so you released a book called Pray With Me. It's all about teaching your kids to pray and developing that discipline in them. And I'm just really excited to dig into this. We've talked a lot about prayer on the show, but we've never had a conversation specifically geared towards parents in this area. And so I would love to just kind of open up the floor to you with, as you have these conversations, as you've written this material, what are some frequent challenges that maybe you see with parents who desire that type of relationship with their kids? They want to pray with their kids.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's probably, if I were to kind of like hone in, I would say there's probably two main concerns. One is parents of slightly older children. So, you know, like definitely elementary, like older elementary maybe. And for them, it's just like getting started. So how do we establish prayer as like a practice of our household? I think there gets to be a certain age where you feel silly introducing new things. So whatever that age is, like for parents, it's like, I just don't feel like we could just sit down and like pray together in some special way. And so for them, I think that the biggest hurdle is just starting to establish prayer as a regular practice. And for that, I typically recommend parents just think of a time or two during the day that they can plan to pray. So the easiest thing is like a time that you're attaching prayer to something that you're already doing as a family is probably going to make prayer most successful, as opposed to approaching prayer as like this other thing we have to do. Oh, and we also have to pray, you know. But like, what if prayer was a part of dinner? You know, what if prayer was a part of what bedtime looks like? So those are two like super easy ways, I think, to introduce prayer and just get it going. Mm-hmm. You know,
it reminds me of habit stacking.
Yes.
Have you heard that term?
Yeah,
I did. So it reminds me of that, right?
Yes. You just like begin the habit. And the thing I love about that, and it's funny, I wonder if James Clear addresses this. I can't remember. I read it like a few years ago, but we're talking about the Atomic Habits book in case.
Yes. For people who are trying to guess and read between the lines. Yes.
Okay. So, but the cool thing about establishing a habit of prayer is it's not dependent on what I'm feeling. It's not dependent on how well the day went, especially as a mom. Like I can, like, sometimes it is just everything in me to get dinner on the table, to get everybody at the table. Before that, to get the table cleared off.
That's right.
And so it's like, so my emotions and my mental state isn't like, okay, guys, now we're going to have this beautiful time of prayer. Everybody close your eyes. You know, like it's not that at all. But when we establish prayer as a habit, it's way less dependent on how we feel and what our emotional capacity is at that time. Mm. And it's just about doing it. Because we love God. I mean, I love that verse. It's like, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And these things are to be on your heart and you're to impress them on your children. So talk about them when you walk by the way, talk about them when you sit down, right? It's just sort of this like regular thing that we do. Mm. So for parents who are just kind of like, where do I even start? I would say just start establishing a time or two of prayer in your house.
Psst. Did you know that my debut book, Do the Thing, Gospel-Centered Goals, Gumption, and Grace for the Go-Getter Girl, is available wherever you like to buy books? I wrote it just for you, friend. So if you are ready to see your gifts and talents from a gospel-centered perspective, prioritize goals related to your calling as you move forward with gumption and grace, maximize your passions in the work you do every day, actively partner with God to serve Him and love others, and overcome negative thought patterns so you can brainstorm, develop, and create with the confidence of a go-getter girl. If that sounds like you, then I want you to order today at the link in the show notes below. Each chapter includes prayer prompts, scripture for further study, questions for reflection, action steps to move your goal forward, and accompanying videos for individual or small group discussion. So grab a friend or 12 and let's use God's word as our compass to do the thing. After all, if not now, when? One of my greatest joys is having the opportunity to come share God's word at women's events, retreats, and conferences. I'm booking speaking engagements for this year and next year and would love to chat with you about your church's next event. Shoot me an email at hello@radicalradiance.live to start a conversation today. I love that. The word that's coming to mind with habit is rhythm. And I've been thinking about that a lot too. Like, what do I want my rhythms to look like? And I think when maybe we're creating those moments throughout the day, it then becomes a natural rhythm of their lives, right? Yeah. And it feels like a more natural gut instinct when something happens. Oh, let's pray, right? Or things like that. That will begin to develop when that habit is formed. And so I love that. And I love how you speak to the creative piece of engaging your children in prayer. I think that really matters, especially at probably younger ages. I would imagine I'm not a mom yet. So I'm going to learn all the things from you. So tell us more about this piece.
Okay. I think getting creative when it comes to prayer is probably a lot easier than people think. I, with very young ones, I am like not opposed to using other things. So, coloring, like, you know, why not have the kids color something while they're praying? Having blocks, like stacking blocks. Okay. I'm going to lay a block like, and I'm going to pray something that I'm thankful for. And then you're going to lay a block and you're going to say something that you're thankful for. And we're just going to build this like prayer tower, you know?
Yeah.
I think drawings, even I've done this to my own kids a lot, that sometimes we don't really have the words. But if we give them like permission in a way, it's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to put some worship music on. And here's some crayons. And why don't you just like draw a picture of thanks? or, yeah, you know, maybe somebody's hurting and we're like, maybe we don't really know what to pray for that person. Let's just like, I'm going to draw out their name and you can just kind of color in and around it, like while we're praying for that person. And mm-hmm. so especially with little kids, I think that takes the pressure off of the words of prayer. Like if we think yeah. of prayer as like our heart connecting with God, sometimes that's not always words.
Yeah.
Right. And for like young children, writing out words or speaking words in front of adults that, you know, are to God who we can't see, like it should just seem intimidating.
Sure.
But I think there's a lot of creative ways, especially in those young years, that we can help them to engage in prayer beyond kind of like what we might traditionally think of as this is what prayer is or this is what prayer looks like.
Yeah.
I love when I speak to moms groups, moms love the story of me talking about how I told my son to just like run laps around the house as he prayed for friends. So rather than just like sitting on the couch and praying, yeah. it was, okay, so like for every lap that you run around the house, pray for a new friend. And so it's like weird, like that doesn't look reverent, that doesn't look like holy, right? Like he's running laps, but like he's engaging in prayer way longer and he's thinking about his friends, he's thinking about yeah. God way longer by physically getting that energy out, right? Like he's mm-hmm. doing it the whole duration of the perimeter of our house. So
yeah.
So those kind of things. I think, you know, don't assume that prayer needs to look like sitting still. There's a place for that and there's value yeah. in that. But I think, you know, there's a lot of ways that we can engage them that doesn't look like sitting still. So
yeah, that's so good. And even in my own prayer life, I would say some of the sweetest times I have with the Lord are when I'm out on a run or I'm yeah. walking around my neighborhood and I'm just moving yeah. my body. I'm yeah. a captive audience for him, right? Like I'm not distracted by anything else because yeah. I'm not in front of my laptop or I'm not in my house with laundry to fold and dishes to do and all of those
right,
things.
Right.
And so even as adults, I think that's true. Some of the most special moments we can have with the Lord don't have to look like this very pristine moment where we're sitting on our couch with a perfectly brewed cup of coffee and all of those yeah. things. Like those moments are great, but yeah. I also meet with him in just those mundane moments of my workout too. So
yeah,
I love that.
That's good. Yeah.
Well, and I know there's probably some moms listening who maybe are thinking, okay, Erica, this is all awesome. And I feel the challenge of expressing biblical truth about prayer at an age-appropriate level for my child, right? Maybe I'm yeah. struggling to do that well with my kids and I just want some help there. What has helped you do that well with your own children?
Yeah, so that's a really excellent question. I ended up writing an entire chapter on the theology of prayer and I broke it down into age-appropriate like levels because it is. And that's like, I think that's the number one, I don't want to say struggle, but question. So once people yeah. get rolling with this, okay, it's a habit, you know, but like, how do I help them understand or how do I help them grasp? So, yeah, I dedicated a whole chapter to that, but I could say succinctly that, I think most of the time I'll just say for myself, I get yeah. a little too hung up on some of the nitty gritty, of prayer. And I want them to understand, like really deep truths or even like specific truths like, well, no, I had a mom say, you know, my son keeps praying to Jesus, but Jesus prayed to the Father. I feel like he's wrong, you know, and I was sort of like, okay, let's just dial it back a little bit.
Yeah.
The heart of prayer like is to call out to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I feel like Jesus demonstrated, you know, the Father for sure.
Yeah.
But then we see, you know, Paul say, pray other things. And so I think sometimes our inclination is to feel like everything needs to be just so. And we can easily drag our kids into, I don't want to say the weeds, but for lack of a better word, we can easily drag yeah. our kids into some of like the weeds or nitty gritty of theology. And I just don't know that that's necessary. I feel like specifically for young children, telling them what you know
Yeah.
When we pray, we're talking with God. You're right. We can't see him, but we know that he's with us. We know that he's also in heaven listening to us. Like, some things are a little bit complicated, but we just say it. I don't think there's any reason to, like, package things up, like, just so. I did try in the book to kind of package up, so to speak, some truths into truth statements. But the purpose of that was really just to help parents start those conversations about talking about what prayer is. You know, prayer is not just wishing, right? We're not just like wishing for things. You know, when we're praying, we're considering, what does God want to do in this situation, and praying that, right? Yeah. So I think it's not, you know, it's not so much like saying the right thing all the time, but just having a lot of conversations and not getting too hung up on some of the details.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I love that. So we mentioned this a couple of times, but as we both and we all know, prayer should be our first defense during hard times, during tragedy, during things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder, as you've walked through different things in your own family and you're reinforcing prayer, how have you encouraged this in your own children as they have continued to grow and develop in prayer?
Yeah. Well, I have tried to develop that in my children. Hopefully I have done it successfully. it's always a journey. I really love, I think it's Isaiah 31 that says, woe to those who go down to Egypt. Woe to those who put their trust in, you know, horses and chariots, but forget to call on the Lord their God.
Yeah.
That's the Erica. That's the ERV, Erica Renault.
That's right.
Okay. And I absolutely love that passage. And I think, you know, like what we talked about in the beginning, establishing a habit of prayer. You said it right after that. You're like, yeah, once you establish that habit, it becomes more easy to turn to him when things come up.
Yeah.
And I think that's so true. Is, as parents, when a problem arises, our inclination is to solve that problem, to fix it, to bring peace and order to the house again. Right. And I would love for, you know, us as parents to make this shift, that when a problem arises, this is an opportunity for prayer. Because I'm sure listeners have experienced this too. Like, when a problem arises, like, you almost, not physically get sweaty, but like you start to sweat. You're like, oh gosh, like, we have to fix this. You know, there's a sense of like urgency, like, okay, we'll just take the toy away, or okay, he's probably hungry, or, you know, whatever it is, right? But to make that shift of, like, before we turn to horses or chariots or whatever, turn to the Lord our God. So when our child has a boo-boo, when our child can't find something, when our child's not sleeping well, you know, when they get older, when they're struggling in math, when they really don't like that teacher, when they despise that person on the playground, when their best friend lied to them, you know, all these things, there's things that we're going to do after we pray, but to just pray first. And so then as they get older, those problems get bigger and bigger. You know, it's no longer boo-boos. It's like a friend deeply betrayed them, or a coach said something incredibly hurtful to them, and now they, like, don't even think they can be on the varsity team anymore, you know, or they didn't get into the college that they were, like, really banking on getting into, etc., right? So that was, like, that brought us up to what, like, senior year, right? My oldest just graduated high school.
Yeah.
So those are all real things that we've all—
Very real.
Right? Right. So, but establishing that when we turn to God with any kind of boo-boo, so to speak— I'm doing quotes for listeners.
Yes.
We turn to God with those boo-boos, but it just establishes this heart attitude of, he is the one I go to first.
That's right.
No matter what's going on.
Yeah, that's so good. So good. Well, one of the things, I love asking this sometimes, because I think sometimes when we write books, that's not the end of the Lord teaching us about a particular thing, right? And I can think of things that the Lord's done in my own heart since I wrote Do the Thing, and even in living that message out as I've went through the launch. And so I wonder, is there something about praying with your kids about this whole area that the Lord's really shown you after you wrote the manuscript for it?
I love that question. So I heard Louis Giglio say, like, a year ago, he's like, man, the things I've learned in the 6 months launching this book, like, I so wish that I could take that back and, like, add all these beautiful nuggets of truth.
Yes.
And when he said that, I thought, dang, that's going to be me. Like, I could just tell.
Yeah.
But I can say that the number one thing that God has shown me after the book has come out that I think got in there, but not as clearly as, you know, I didn't put it in as intentionally as I wish I would have. But the idea that prayer is a place. And so it's not just an activity. It's not just this thing that we do, but it's actually a place that we're bringing our kids. And when I think about, like, the high level of anxiety that kids have, the range of things that kids get scared about or nervous over, and to think that prayer is this place where they are with God, you know, their heart, their spirit is with God, that God sees them, that God hears them, that God loves them. That, I mean, like, I love some of the imagery in the Psalms of, like, you know, God holding us, like us being under his wings even. And it's just like, when we're praying with our kids, we're bringing them to that place. We're teaching them how to get to that place where everything is okay, where they're in their father's arms, where he is there reminding them, showing them, teaching them, loving on them. Prayer is a place. That would be, if I could add that chapter, that would be it. Prayer is a place.
Yeah. I love that. That's such a testament to he's always at work in us. And even when we think we've uncovered it all, he continues to show us things. So I love that so much. Well, there is a question that I ask every guest that comes on Radical Radiance. And I love this question because it goes back to a scripture God really put on my heart as we were titling the podcast. It's Psalm 34:5. It says, those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be covered in shame.
Yeah.
And it's fun because some people I've had on multiple times, and it's, again, a testament to just the Lord is always at work in us, and so we always have different things to share, and I think that's so fun. And so if you were to consider that scripture and think about that idea of looking to him and how that makes us radiant, I wonder how you would answer, what about Jesus makes you radiant?
I feel like that's a awesome and loaded question, and I can
totally
answer it like a million ways. As I think about his light, his face shining on me and shame being taken away, I think, I don't know that this like shows to other people, but just for me internally, God's continued glory and holiness, the fact that he's always worthy of praise, regardless of what I'm doing, regardless of how like I'm succeeding or failing or feel like praising him, the fact that he's just always holy, always worthy, always glorious, like, and even always shining.
Yeah.
That excites me. That I feel like on, you know, a gloomy day, whether physically or just circumstantial, that just stirs something in my heart.
That
provokes me to keep going, even if that looks like, now, even if it's just like internal praise.
Yeah.
You know, even if it looks like laying on my couch for a while, but like internally I'm like, man, like, you are always worthy. Like, I love, one of my favorite verses is, I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. There is just this otherworldliness about God that is like not comparable to anything else. So it keeps me praising him.
I love that. That's beautiful. So good. Well, I don't want to miss the chance to allow you to just take a minute and share with everybody, where can they grab Pray With Me? How can they connect with you and all of those things after this conversation?
Sure. I think, you can buy Pray With Me anywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Christian Book. Christian Book usually has it for sale.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, which is fabulous. you can get the book anywhere. I think probably the best thing as far as following me / finding me online would be to go to ericarenaud.org and just like sign up for anything. I'm most authentic and most thorough in my emails. If email is too much of a commitment, I would say find me on Instagram.
So awesome.
I'll be there.
That's a good way to say it.
Random things.
I like it. I like it. Well, this has been such a joy. I'm so thankful to just get to share you with all of my people. And I love having conversations like this to, in some way, equip parents, because I know many of our listeners are mamas as well. And so I just loved getting to talk about prayer with you. So thank you so much for being my guest today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This has been fabulous. And hopefully listeners can, you know, walk away with a few nuggets. So
absolutely. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Erica as much as I did. Go grab a copy of Pray With Me wherever books are sold. And guys, I'm so excited to be back with you next week. We have some great conversations coming for you in the next month or two, and it's going to be so fun. So make sure you subscribe to the show, rate and review it wherever you listen, and I will see you next week.